Hello and welcome to Academy of Blues. My name is Maddie, and I am joined by my co-host Daniel Gonzalez today. And today, we are excited to talk about all the awesome reasons why Chelsea can win the Champions League. Yes, Chelsea, the Mighty Blues of London, the pride of London, why they can win the Champions League this season, 2021. So, Daniel, are you excited to talk all things Chelsea and why we're going to be able to win the most coveted trophy in club football?
I'm here to predict the future. Let's go. We're going to do it.
Let's go.
I'm calling it
now.
Let's go.
Every once in a while during a season, I think fans just need to be wildly optimistic. And so this is going to be one of those episodes where we are going to completely ignore all the negatives and just kind of take a moment to dream, to hope, to believe that we are going to win the Champions League this season. So, as you know, this season has been incredibly wild. We had some highs and some very low lows with the sacking of Frank Lampard, with the atmosphere in the squad, etc. But over the past few weeks, Thomas Tuchel has come in and he has really changed the way that the squad looks, the way that they've been playing, performing. Defensively, we're one of the most solid teams in Europe right now. And offensively, we're doing just enough to be able to win games, which going into the final stretch, into the business end of the season, that can be really, really important. So I'm going to get us started with my first reason as to why I think Chelsea can win the Champions League. So this is my, like, this is my worst and my least, like, logical, this is the least good reason that I have for why Chelsea will win the Champions League this season. And reason number one is, look at the parallels between 2021 and 2012. Now, realistically speaking, that means absolutely nothing, right? Because these two seasons are similar in how they've shaped up back then and now, that does not mean that, you know, Bayern Munich or PSG or whatever team, or even Chelsea, is going to perform the same way in their next game, which is all that matters. But if we were to look at certain similarities between the two seasons started off kind of hopeful, right? Things were great for a little bit. And then they got really, really sour. Then we ended up sacking our 41-year-old manager both seasons, all right? And in both seasons, we would go on to play a Portuguese team in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, which, you know, right now we're drawn against FC Porto in the quarterfinals of the Champions League this season. And then we would go on to play a Spanish team in the semifinals. There's a very, very good chance that we can play and that we would play a Spanish team this season. And then 2012 ended up with us playing Bayern Munich in the final, which is very, very, very likely and possible that we would play Bayern Munich if we do make it to the final. So, again, none of that means anything when, like, when the first ball is kicked, but a man can hope. Fans can believe and draw on the similarities of the two seasons.
I'm going to throw one more thing out there. If we're talking about wild, unrelated ideas, 2012, 2021, just switch those last two numbers. It's the same year.
That's right. It's the same numbers.
You're coming to the Academy of Blues for that hard-hitting soccer science that we got here.
Well, science is all about numbers, and we've got the numbers. 2021, 2012, rearranged, and so here we are. We're going to do it.
I'm going to give you one. All right, I want to transition us to real ideas.
Okay, please make it better than mine.
Who do you think, in your personal opinion, who is the scariest player that is in the Champions League at the moment?
Robert Lewandowski.
Correct. And where is Robert Lewandowski right now?
Is he in
He's
Poland?
Out. He's injured.
Oh, is he?
Did you hear about this?
I did not hear about this.
Lewandowski is going to miss the games against PSG because he got injured, I believe, on international duty.
I told them to call off those international duties, dude. They don't listen to me.
Yeah. I call every professional player and I say, don't go. It's not worth it.
Don't represent your country. Do it for your club. oh, wow. That's a huge blow for them.
Really is. And I'm really, you could tell we did not rehearse this because you didn't know.
So at Chelsea, we have, you know, if our center forward is injured, our replacement, it might be a step down or it might be somebody who is not as good. But the drop-off is not going to be as big as, you know, going from Robert Lewandowski to Eric Choupo-Moting, who got relegated with Stoke and is somehow scamming his way through all of Europe's top clubs. That's pretty insane. And I'll take that as a reason as to why Chelsea is going to be able to win the Champions League.
Right. I mean, not to say that Bayern Munich are, you know, a one-trick pony. They're still Bayern Munich, even without Lewandowski. But that's going to make that road a lot tougher for them. And I could see them getting knocked out. They are probably the favorites by far going into this. Yeah, you have, you know, other big teams. You have PSG, you have City. But PSG and City do have that streak of losing games in tournaments that makes Bayern this, like, tough team that they can go out and win the league and they can go out and win the Champions League and they can just steamroll every opponent. But that's the scariest player that is out, at least for the quarterfinals, and probably will struggle to make it back in time for the semis should they reach that. So
that's insane.
That's already one nail in their coffin.
Okay, so that adds one more similarity between 2012 and 2021. And that similarity is the fact that if we do end up playing Bayern somehow in the final, and Robert Lewandowski doesn't play, and I know you said he should be back by then, but if he doesn't play, right, then right. We would be playing a Bayern team that does not have Lewandowski, because I don't think he joined them until 2013, the following season. So, I mean, it's written in the stars, right?
Right there.
It's written in the stars. And then we win the Champions League. The following summer, Erling Haaland puts out a tweet that says, "I'm joining the European champions." And there you go. It's Eden Hazard all over again.
And then he leaves to go to Madrid and gets fat in 8 years.
Also, can we talk about Eden Hazard and Erling Haaland and how they have the same initials? Dude, it's written in the stars.
Very different players, but I will give you that. I will give you that.
Very different players, but probably the most coveted young player, respectively, at the time for Eden Hazard and right now for Erling Haaland. Okay, let's move to more serious reasons. My second reason why I do believe Chelsea can win the Champions League this season is Thomas Tuchel and this new-look Chelsea defense. So, Thomas Tuchel has been Chelsea manager for the past 14 games. It's taken a little over 2 months now to get over 14 games. And in those 14 games, we have the absolute best defensive record in all top five leagues in Europe. We've conceded 2 goals and have kept 12 clean sheets in 14 games. That is incredible. And even when you go beyond that, when you look at the expected goals against and chances conceded and big chances conceded, we've had the absolute best record in the Premier League and in Europe's top five leagues. The only team that comes anywhere close to us with a chance conceded is Manchester City. So right now, during games, we are conceding less chances than Man City. We're conceding less goals than Man City. And this Chelsea defense, which looked so vulnerable on the transition when we were going from attack to defense and teams would get us on a counterattack, it's just looking so solid now with the high pressing, with the 3-4-3 that he's introduced, and with how he's restored and brought some players back into the fold. Players that have been forgotten and kind of left on the sidelines by Frank Lampard and even by Maurizio Sarri before him. So it's really, really exciting to see what he's doing. And I know that to be able to win the Champions League, as we saw back in 2012, you need a very, very solid defense. I definitely think that's a reason why we could win it this season.
Especially in these tournament-style games where you just have to go, you have to notch a goal, and that can get you progress. Goal difference makes no difference as long as you're ahead. If you don't concede any goals, you know, what else do you need? My second reason is actually one singular person, and that is Thiago Silva. Something that I think kind of gets overlooked a lot, and it's talked about, but something that does get overlooked in kind of what makes champions is that element of leadership and like a spine that a team has to have. And that's why you see teams like PSG and teams like Manchester City, which are great teams full of great players, but don't have the one thing you can really take away from them is that they don't have that Champions League mentality of fighting their way through the next round. And they always lose to sometimes worse teams. I'm thinking of specifically that City-Tottenham matchup that happened. Was that last year? It was last year, right?
That was two seasons ago.
Gosh. Yeah. it's all blending together for me. It's that case of, like, you know, this team has player for player in every single position. You can say they have better players, but they don't have that leader, or they don't have that grit, I suppose. And that feels so, like, old-fashioned English football, you know? It's like, oh, you know, you gotta want the ball more. You gotta go into the tackle wanting it more than the other guy. But it's that mentality is definitely a factor going into it. And Thiago Silva has already been just last year to the final, and Thomas Tuchel has been last year to the final. And that's that mentality that they've instilled in the squad, where even if they don't look as great game to game, they're still pulling out these wins, is just as much a matter of their mentality as it is how he sets up the team. And I can see us beating teams like City, who probably are better and on paper should be winning those games because they have that mentality going into it.
Yeah, with actually Thiago Silva was also one of my reasons, along with one other player, which I'll get to in a second. But you're absolutely right. And the other thing with Thiago Silva too is this is probably, or Chelsea is probably, his last chance to make a run for the Champions League, because, I mean, he's already 36. By the time, you know, next season starts, a few months into it, he's going to be 37. So if he does extend his contract one more year at Chelsea, then he's going to have a second chance to go for it with Chelsea. But it almost feels like it's now or never for him. And that can just be that much more motivation for him, which could motivate the rest of the squad too. Because, you know, just like we saw with the celebrations that Jorginho and Mason Mount had going in the Atletico game, you can see how much he is invested in this team and how much he loves this team and how much he's driven to succeed with this team. And so I think that could be something that could just be, like, beyond the tactics, beyond the talent, that could be just the thing that's needed to, like, push this team over to be competitive with, like, the biggest teams in Europe. And so he's definitely a reason that we can and maybe we will win the Champions League. The other reason for me, as far as specific personnel go, is actually Christian Pulisic. Christian Pulisic has pretty much been inexistent for us this season. And I believe that one of the main reasons that it's been such a hard season for him is, one, because of the injury that he's had to recover from. But two, he is this kid who, like, moved to a whole new country and then immediately has had to go into lockdown for over a year now. And so his living conditions, etc., have been incredibly hard. Now, Christian Pulisic's best run of games in a Chelsea shirt were after lockdown, during Project Restart last season in the Premier League. He scored some big goals against Man City, where he scored one and I think created the second one. Against Aston Villa, where he scored the winning goal, or the go-ahead goal, if I'm not mistaken. And against Crystal Palace, where he scored two and assisted one. I mean, he was just game after game. He was just like almost kind of like the Eden Hazard type of player, where he just takes a game with so much drive and he makes things happen. Now, the thing about Christian Pulisic right now is that this is one of the first times he's actually been able to go back home to the States, spend some time in the United States, like the men's soccer team, you know, their camp, where he's been able to see his friends, his buddies. And I think that that can give him that much needed boost and confidence. Plus, he was able to play. He got more game time for the US than he has for Chelsea in quite a few months. So his confidence should only be on the rise now. And so when he goes back to Chelsea, it could be very possible that we see kind of a return to his best. So if we've gone on 15 games undefeated, some of those games against big teams, and it's been with, like, you know, a Christian Pulisic who is, you know, barely a shade of what his actual potential is, but then if he actually does raise his game to what it can be, I think then we're looking at, like, an incredibly dangerous attacking Chelsea team, a very solid backline, which can be really, really hard to deal with. When we signed all of the attacking players during the summer, one of the things that made me excited was, I remember I used to think, you know, when we had Eden Hazard, all the attention would be on him. Two or three different players would, like, be drawn towards him. And unless he found a way to, like, you know, sneak his way through all that stuff and either pass the ball or create a chance, teams could literally just focus on Eden Hazard and not worry about the Pedros and the Willians and everybody else and the Moratas. And teams would be fine. That
you would be not worrying about the Morantas.
You would
have to do that to begin with.
Yeah, he'd be all sad anyways. but teams could literally just focus on Eden Hazard and be fine. But with Havertz, Werner, and Hakim Ziyech, one of the things that I thought would happen was, like, teams couldn't do that, couldn't just pick one player to focus on, because if you were too concentrated on Hakim Ziyech or Ziyech, then you have Werner who's going to be in tons of space. It looks like right now Hakim Ziyech is coming into form. If Christian Pulisic comes into form too, then potentially we could have a little bit of that going, which would create a lot more chances for us, and we would be able to put games away. So I think if we do get Christian Pulisic back to his best, that is a real possibility as to why we can make a run in the Champions League. And I mean, we saw what he did to Liverpool when he came on at Anfield last season. So he loves a big game, and pretty much every game between now and the end of the season in the Champions League is a huge game. So, I mean, I'm here for it. I'm expecting big things from Christian Pulisic.
Oh, man, I would love to believe it, that the Christian Pulisic point. I'm wearing his jersey right now. This is not a video podcast. I'm letting you know I'm wearing a Pulisic jersey right now. I want him so badly to succeed at Chelsea. And the season's, like, touch-and-go sort ofness with his injuries and his, like, not great runs of form have been not fun to watch for me.
Yeah.
And I would love to see him come back into this squad rejuvenated and ready to go. It's, I think, something that does contribute to, like, kind of the attacking mismatch of our players at the moment is just that constant switching out of players and switching out who's in what position. It doesn't feel like we're playing the same starting 11 back-to-back in any. I don't know if we've played any of them in Tuchel's games so far.
We may have maybe once, but if we did, I can't even remember which one it is specifically.
It's something that Lampard definitely struggled with as well, as finding a attacking team that, like, fits together. And it just feels like none of them are on the same page. And it's... I don't know what starting front three or front four or whichever you'd like to, however you'd like to play it, which attacking players can understand each other and work well together, because that's what is most important in the end, rather than having just the best talent on the field. It's the players that can work well together. And I would love for Pulisic to be a part of that. It's hard to see which players are going to rise above it and which ones are going to fall behind at the moment, though.
Yeah, and I don't actually expect him to, you know, in the traditional sense, establish a starting spot within the team. Because, like you said, Thomas Tuchel is constantly chopping and changing the starting lineup, which I think works to our advantage as of right now, because we have a lot of players that are performing at the same level, specifically when we're talking about offensive players, the front three or the front four or whatever it is. A lot of them are, they're not necessarily awful, they're not bad, but they're really not much more than mediocre, the way that they've been performing, even since Thomas Tuchel has come in. Mason Mount has had a couple of brilliant games. Werner has had one or two really good games. But other than that, they've really been average. So I don't necessarily think that he's going to establish himself, because everyone's performing at the same level. Tuchel's like taking somebody out and bringing another one in, and the level just kind of stays the same. It hasn't been raised or dropped. But if with Ziyech or with Hakim Ziyech now raising his game a little bit, he's gotten a couple of assists and a couple of goals in his last few games. And with Christian Pulisic maybe doing that, then it does raise the game a little bit. And so even just if he's coming off the bench, or if he's starting a game and he plays 60 minutes, then he's able to impact games. And it literally would just take him one or two moments. And that's what we were seeing back then in Project Restart. So I'm super hopeful that this trip, this international break, is going to be really, really good for him.
We'll have to see that West Brom game, which I feel like we should say we are not going to be previewing, because this is a Champions League themed episode. It's not a West Brom at, we are on the West Coast. This is not a West Brom at 4:30 on a Saturday themed episode.
That's true. A Champions League episode. I have another reason, and this would be my fourth reason. We just have to take a look at the other teams and their current status. And if we took a very holistic look at their status, the first thing that we got to consider is, one, we have been drawn on the very favorable side of the draw, where we avoid PSG, Bayern Munich, and Man City until the final, should we reach it. I think when you look at Liverpool, we've already beaten them as recently as last month, and they are struggling. That being said, the thing that has to be said about Liverpool is that they are a different beast in the Champions League than they are in the Premier League. However, just the fact that we have been able to beat them as recently as February, that's got to give our team a lot of confidence. And if we do draw them in the semifinal of the Champions League, you know, I would say that we're favorites to go through because the likes of Mane, Mohamed Salah, Thiago, their entire back line, none of them are in form. And so against Liverpool, I would consider us favorites. Against Real Madrid, Zinedine Zidane is like a Champions League specialist. But when you look at his squad and his team, it's a miracle that they made it out of that group that they were in with Borussia Mönchengladbach and Inter Milan. And I think Shakhtar Donetsk, if I'm not mistaken. But I could have sworn that Real Madrid was the one team that lost the most amount of games. Because every Champions League game I watched that they were involved in, they either lost it or they drew it. And so it's a miracle that they made it out. They did. They got an easy draw in the last round against Atalanta, or one of the easier draws anyways, in the last round. But they're just not having a great season. They didn't do great in the Champions League in the first place. They're not even top of their league. And Atletico Madrid has gotten like 5 points from the last possible 18 or whatever, and they're still 4 or 5 points behind them. And so when you look at Real Madrid, they really don't have that it factor that helped them win the 3 Champions Leagues in a row a couple of seasons ago. And that's Cristiano Ronaldo. He is obviously going to be somebody incredibly hard to replace. And they thought that Eden Hazard would replace him and kind of fill his boots. But we know how that story has gone so far. So that being said, the 2 games that we would play on our way to the final, or the 2 ties we would play on our way to the final, are ties that are going to be against the favorable team. So FC Porto and then Real Madrid or Liverpool, which we definitely can get through. Then you get to the final, and the final is great because it's just a one-off game. So 2012, I mean, going back to that game in Bayern Munich in 2012, we played without John Terry, we played without Branislav Ivanovic. I mean, we had Ryan Bertrand and Jose Basingwa on the field. We had Joan Obi-Mikel, and I want to say we had Solomon Kalou in there too. But it's just... We had David Luiz. It was a very average Chelsea team. But because it was a one-off game, you just have such a higher chance of like causing an upset or winning the game or things going your way just in those decisive moments. Anyways, that's my point about being on the favorable side of the group. But then when you do look at the condition of all the other Champions League teams that are there, the thing that I can say about the big teams, PSG and Man City, you've already said this, but they have the Tottenham syndrome where they just bottle big games. Pep Guardiola has been like on the same formation and the same lineup for the past like 14 games. I guarantee you, when he sees that it's a Champions League quarterfinal, he's going to come up with a weird like 1-6-7 formation. And you already mentioned about how Robert Lewandowski is injured for the next round of Champions League games, so Bayern may or may not make it. But even if they do, it's like Bayern, City, and PSG, and Borussia Dortmund, because they're on that side of the bracket, they're going to eliminate one another. So we only have to play one of those teams. And we only have to play one of those teams in a one-off game. And, you know, I think that Thomas Tuchel, tactically, I think he's got enough to surprise any of those managers. I am tipping him to go toe-to-toe against any manager that he faces in this Champions League final, or in this Champions League run. So because of how other teams are looking, because of where we're drawn in the brackets, and because of Thomas Tuchel's tactical news, I'm confident that we can get all the way to the final and maybe even win it.
Oh, man, this is getting me excited. I'm starting to believe.
That was my goal. I just want you to believe.
It might be working. All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second.
Okay.
And I want you to refute this as best you can. I feel that semifinals in any competition are the best part of that competition. Semifinals, quarterfinals, everything leading up to the final is always better than the final, because it feels like the final of any big competition, 99% of the time, there's not an upset there. There's always room for upsets in the quarterfinals, semifinals. But what was the last Champions League? When was the last World Cup final that an upset happened? That something totally, this crazy, weird game happened where...
Definitely not one in my lifetime.
I mean, I can think of one in your lifetime.
For a World Cup final?
No, Champions League final.
Oh, for a Champions League final,
it never happens.
Yeah, so let's see. World Cup final, 94, Brazil won it. They were expected to beat Italy. 98, France won it. They were the favorites. 2002, Brazil were the favorites, and they won it against Germany. 2006, Germany won it. Italy won it against Germany. That was an upset, not because Italy was worse than Germany, but because Germany was hosting the World Cup and they got to the final, so they were expected to win it. 2010, Spain were by far the favorites, crushed everybody. They won it. 2014, Germany won it. Brazil were the favorites, but they didn't even get anywhere close to the final. So 2018, France were expected to win it. They won it. So World Cups, never ever a surprise, specifically with the final. Champions League, Man United beating Bayern Munich in 1999. That was a big surprise. But again, I was too young to remember that. Didn't even watch it live. I'm trying to think of other... FC Porto winning the Champions League. The final itself wasn't a surprise because they played Monaco in the final. But their run all the way up to the final was pretty incredible. Liverpool in 2005, when they came back 3-0 from 3-0 down to tie to 3-3, take it to penalties and win it. That could be a surprise, but that's only once the game started. Going into the game, they were very evenly matched at the time. And let's see, since then, the winners have been like Inter Milan, Bayern Munich, Barcelona a few times, Real Madrid a few times, Chelsea, Man United once. And like literally the only genuine upset in the Champions League was 2012. So I don't know what you're trying to say, but...
I started out with a upsets never happened in the Champions League, but then as I started thinking about it, the last real one that happened was 2012. And so, hey, I mean, it could always be like a Liverpool situation where they get all the way to the final and just like dismantle upon getting there and then just come back stronger next season.
True.
And with Tuchel in charge, it's always a possibility.
Here's what's going to happen. We're going to make it to the final. Mendy gets injured. Kepa comes in. He busts. Carrius in goal. And then next season, all us.
Oh, yeah. And the next season, we go out and we buy Donnarumma. Where's he been? He's still like 18, right?
Dude, he's still 17. He's got 2 months left on his contract. Hasn't signed a new one yet. And he can go anywhere. He can play for... I'm sure every team in the world would love to have him. Here's my last reason for why I think Chelsea could win the Champions League this season. And the final reason is Premier League and FA Cup momentum that we carry into the Champions League. Our next 3 games in the Premier League are against teams that are in the bottom half of the table. Games that we are expected to win. And so that just sets us up in so many different ways. One, more wins means more confidence for the team. And so hopefully that just translates very directly into better performances in the Champions League. 2, we're in the FA Cup semifinals. And that means that we've already gone so far in the competition that the final and the trophy itself, we can almost smell it. It's something that isn't very far away now. We're literally 2 games or 2 wins away from the FA Cup, from being FA Cup champions again, which we love. And we do have a very, very good record in the FA Cup recently. This is our 4th FA Cup semifinal in the last 5 years. And that being said too, the FA Cup semifinal that's about to happen with Man City, in many ways, is the FA Cup final. Because the other side of the draw is Leicester against Southampton. It doesn't really matter what happens there all that much, because I think that whoever gets through between Chelsea and City is going to end up winning the FA Cup finals. But again, the momentum of just going far into a competition, being experienced in cup games, taking that into the Champions League, that's going to be extremely valuable, and we have that. And that's more than what you can say for a team like Liverpool, who are also in the Champions League, but don't have FA Cup games to look forward to build momentum with. And then the other thing about our kind of momentum slash the next 3-4 games that we play in the Premier League and then being against weaker teams is that means Thomas Tuchel can really rotate the squad the way that he's been rotating, which I have to say has been like expertly done, because I mean, most players are getting playing time, but it also keeps every manager that he's playing against guessing as far as what formation he's going to play. And even when he deploys the same formation, it's just like a bunch of small little differences and different systems that he uses. And so as he is able to rotate teams and keep using different players, the team remains fresher, so that for the Champions League, he is able to play the likes of Thiago Silva, N'Golo Kante without really worrying about them picking up hamstring injuries, etc. And so, for example, N'Golo Kante, when he's playing against, I believe it was when he was playing against Sweden or Ukraine for France, he picked up a hamstring injury that's supposed to keep him up for a week or two. He went back to Chelsea. If he doesn't play weekend, which hopefully he doesn't play this weekend, I don't think it's the end of the world. We're playing against West Bromwich Albion. A lot of our rivals in the Premier League that are chasing down a top four finish are either playing, they're playing against one another, and so they're going to be taking points off of each other. And so it's like he has this opportunity to give N'Golo Kanté a day off or a Saturday off, meaning that for Wednesday's Champions League clash, he should be ready to come back and he should be at his best if everything goes well. So I really do think that the way that the final stretch of the season, of the domestic season, is set up could work to our advantage when it comes to performing well in the Champions League. I don't necessarily think that Thomas Tuchel is going to prioritize one competition over the other, but I do think that he will do well to play one competition off of one another and just keep bouncing momentum from one to the other. So I'm excited about it, and I really hope that it does unfold in the way that I'm seeing it will.
Wow, that's a host of good reasons. Hey, you did your job. You're the host.
Are you convinced?
That was a lame joke. You can cut that. You can absolutely
no,
cut
that's
that
definitely
out.
Staying in there.
Turning into you for this one. Yeah. Hey, I mean, I like to stay optimistic. I believe it. Watch us look like fools next week. We get knocked when Porto beats us 4-0.
I know.
And knock on wood, I'm gonna actually do it. But it's always dangerous to underestimate, you know, those lower people. But I'm feeling fairly confident in that game.
Me too. The other thing about that game that we didn't really touch on is the fact that FC Porto and Chelsea are going to play at a neutral ground. Both games are going to be played in Sevilla or Seville. And I mean, the last time we went down to Sevilla, we scored 4 goals away from home. So hopefully that's a good thing. But even though we're playing, it's in their memory. And FC Porto is just going to turn into Sevilla, and they're just going to fear the beard of the Giroud. But even if, even as we're playing it at a neutral ground, it's still considered in the first game, we're away from home. And so going into the second game, you know, we can make decisions based on away goals rule and all that stuff. So I'm feeling confident. I think we're going to get into the semifinals of the Champions League. And once you get into the semifinals, man, the final is just right there.
Hey, man, I think you convinced yourself over the course of this episode.
Well, I came in already convinced, so...
I hope if you've been convinced, let us know.
If you've been convinced, send us an email, academyofblues@gmail.com.
Yeah, email. Haven't you heard of it? Electronic mail? You have one? Cut that. I'm not good today.
That's how we're going to end our show with Daniel saying, I'm not good.
I'm not good.
All right, well... it's been fun. Next week, we're going to be back to review the West Bromwich Albion game and maybe even the Champions League game. I do believe it's on Wednesday. So I think we're going to be recording on Wednesday and releasing on Thursday. So we are going to be back to review 2 games and preview 1 game next week here at Academy of Blues. Any final thoughts, Daniel?
Remember to follow us wherever you can. Hey, spread the word about our podcast now that we're back. You know, tell everybody.
Yes.
The more witnesses we have to our proclamations of the Champions League win, the more people could call us out if it doesn't come true, or if
yes,
it does.
True. So I want to be called out.
Let everybody know.
Yeah. You know, as I've always said my entire life, spread Academy of Blues, not COVID-19.
Yeah, you said that last year and the year before and every year since.
I do believe when we met about 6 or 7 years ago, that was one of the first things I said to you, so...
Yeah, I had no idea what you're talking about, but it was
prescient.
Now
you do. With that said, I've been Maddie.
I've been Daniel.
And you have been listening to Academy of Blues. We will see you again, talk to you again next week.